I'm Stuart McIntosh with the BBC News. Hello. A major report has found the BBC guilty of serious failings over Jimmy Savile, the radio and television star who was revealed after his death to have been a prolific sex offender. A review led by a retired judge, Janet Smith, found that Savile raped or sexually assaulted more than 70 people in connection with his work at the BBC, nearly half of them children. She said this was made possible by the culture which prevailed in the organisation at the time.
The management structure of the BBC was not only hierarchical, but deeply deferential. Staff were reluctant to speak out to their managers because they felt it was not their place to do so.
The BBC Director General, Tony Hall, told the victims he was deeply sorry.
A serial rapist and a predatory sexual abuser both hid in plain sight at the BBC for decades. The BBC failed you when it should have protected you. I am deeply sorry for the hurt caused to each and every one of you.
European Union interior ministers are meeting in Brussels for urgent talks on the migration crisis. The absence of an effective common response has prompted Austria and a number of Balkan states to impose their own border restrictions to try to limit the influx. The measures have left thousands of migrants stuck in Greece. But the Austrian interior minister, Johanna Mikl-Leitner, defended the measures.
We all believe in a European solution to this crisis, but as long as there isn't one, we must take small but decisive steps to address the situation.
The government in Greece is to recall its ambassador in Austria in an ongoing row over migration. On Wednesday, Austria and several Balkan countries held a meeting to which Greece was not invited. Afterwards, they issued a list of demands aimed at reducing the flow of migrants through their territory. The Greek Foreign Ministry described the initiative as rooted in the 19th century. The Kenyan president, Uhuru Kenyatta, has accused his own citizens of complaining and stealing no matter where they are in the world. He told an audience of Kenyans in Israel that Kenyans were experienced thieves, abusers and tribalists. He said Kenya was 20 times more wonderful at independence than it is today. The Somali president says nearly 200 Kenyan soldiers were killed in an Islamist attack on their base in southern Somalia last month. Hassan Sheikh Mohamud told a local television station the troops serving with an African Union force were killed in a single day. He'd been asked why he'd attended a memorial service for the soldiers.
When foreigners die in their country, we don't attend their funerals, but when 180 or close to 200 soldiers sent to help us are killed in one day in Somalia, we can't sit back.
This is the BBC News. The World Food Programme has admitted that it can't be sure that any of its first airdrop in Syria reached the people it was intended for. A WFP spokeswoman has said that out of 21 pallets of food aid dropped over the city of Deir al-Zour on Wednesday, 7 landed in no man's land, 4 were damaged and 10 were unaccounted for. Some 200,000 people are estimated to be under siege by IS militants in the eastern city. Land deliveries have not been possible. The United Nations Special Envoy on Syria has said that he'll be announcing the date for the next round of peace talks on Friday. Staffan de Mistura said that the first meeting of the task force of major and regional powers will also take place on Friday to discuss the partial ceasefire that's meant to start on Saturday. The main Syrian opposition group has said it's ready for a truce lasting 2 weeks as a chance to test the seriousness of the government side's commitment. The Brazilian mining giant Vale, the world's largest producer of iron ore, has reported a fourth-quarter loss of more than $8.5 billion. Vale has been hit by the collapse in the price of iron ore and a sharp fall in the value of the Brazilian real, which has inflated the company's debts. It's also facing massive compensation claims over a mining disaster last year. A 5-year-old Afghan boy whose makeshift Lionel Messi football shirt made from a plastic bag shot him to international stardom has now got the real thing from his idol, from Kabul, Harun Najafzada.
The 5-year-old boy was invited at a UNICEF office in Kabul this morning to receive his gifts. It was social media that introduced Murtaza and his passion for Lionel Messi. Photos of his improvised shirt were posted online by his brother, sparking a worldwide search for the boy. Murtaza, who comes from a poor farming family from central Afghanistan, told me that he has now kept his genuine shirt in a safe place.
BBC News.